Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's another blessed Saturday. It's a Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity to share God's Word with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening here in America to this broadcast. God bless you. God bless those in Mexico and Canada, Philippines. We haven't forgotten you, and we do include you, Iraq. God bless you, and God bless you, all the countries that I have not named that are listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So once again, this is Heart to Heart, Brotherly and the Handmaidens on this Saturday. But those of you that follow us, hey, you know this. Thank God for you listening. And as we wait for my brother to come on, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us on this great day to come and assemble together to hear the word of God. We ask that you will bless the speakers tonight as well as the hearers, and that we know that you are with us because you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. So glory be to God. Thank God, Lord God, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, what you bring in the past, and how you're keeping and preserving your people and showing your mighty hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for another blessed day. And hallelujah. I thank God for his message of warnings that he sends to his people and even to unbelievers because of the love that he has for man. And he loved man enough to warn him of an impending danger or things that is to come. Glory to God. And hallelujah. You know, God gives to his people in these warnings. Sometimes he may speak with an audible voice, even though that's not often, okay? So we don't want to get that misunderstood. Sometimes he speaks words of warning in dreams. He may give it in visions. He may even speak a word of warning by his spirit into your spirit. What we want to do is be open to the way God chooses, what avenue, what area, what instrument he chooses to come through to get this message of warning over to you or to anyone else he's getting it over to. And it's very important that we keep that in mind because sometimes we want to limit God one way. Now, don't get me wrong. The primary way that God is going to lead you is by his spirit through your spirit. That is going to be the primary way. But, however, if he chooses to give you a word of direction through a dream or vision, or even if he sent a heavenly messenger to you, that's his choosing. Okay? That's his choosing. Embrace it. The number one thing you want to make sure that what you're getting from any other avenue is from God, okay? That's the thing. Sometimes people dismiss things because they put God one way, and if God don't come that way, it ain't him, okay? In other words, there's some people who believe that God can only speak to them through their church or the church there. A member of it through members in their church. No one else outside a church could get a word from the Lord to give them. okay? Sometimes you got some people that think that way, and they miss out a lot on their blessings, okay? And amen. Some people think that God can only speak a word or warning to them in a dream. So if they don't have a dream, then, of course, God is not sending them a word of warning. Some of them through visions, amen, okay? Some of them think that God can only give a word of warning straight to them, that he could not give it to them through someone else or through any other instrument. So we want to be careful how we put God in a little box, or how we limit God, or how we just put him one way, okay, when it comes to revealing things. Now, I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
This is the day the Lord God Amen. Has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Shalom, brother.
God bless, brother. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I wanted to mention to you, and hopefully my wife, she had been writing it down, getting together. She had got another dream last night, a warning. And actually, to tell you the truth, it's the same one. I mentioned it before, I think, to you. I may have said it on the broadcast some months ago. And it's actually about, really just about the same kind of dream. Not completely, but same message, you know, a message of warning that she was telling me about, she had got yesterday. And she saw so many, I think she said, storms and things around, and sicknesses, diseases hitting people. And the word of the Lord come to her, said that those that do not repent, okay, and yeah, she wrote it down last night. I think she told me, she let me see part of what she wrote. I think she had to write some more. And so I was just letting the people know that, you know, God so loved, he loved man that he will warn man of impending things to come based on repentance.
Yeah. Okay, change. What repentance means? Turn away, turn to. Turn away and turn to. Repentance covers a change, decision of the heart, turning away, letting go, and turning to a person. So that's very important. That repentance is a condition, the conviction of the heart and will, to see the need to turn from darkness or sin or rebellion or evil and turn to Christ. And one of the most important thing is that often we forget that repentance alone cannot hang by itself. It has to be repentance unto God. And it has to be repentance towards a person. And so what has that to do? It has to do with your believing. And so today we was talking about what does the revelation of faith, the God's kind of faith, has to do with everything we do and everything basically that God does. The revelation of faith. And faith that's in a person and repentance towards that person. But first, faith must work because you must believe it. And believing with the heart calls you to turn. And the believing is very important. Just like the warning came, you have to believe and act on it. Everything requires you to believe. And I was thinking about the relevance of the God's kind of faith. And one of the things we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrew about the exercise of faith towards obedience, which is repentance, requiring us to act on what we believe in our hearts. Now, believing is the central thing of the plan of God, believing with the heart. Because if you don't believe, then there is no hope. So the believing part of the gospel, the revelation of the believing with the heart, the spiritual part of believing God's word and believing the person of the Lord Jesus has to do with a lot of celebration of the resurrection. Even though Jesus rose from the dead, many people did not believe. Even though Lazarus, they saw it with their eyes, and Lazarus rose from the dead, it said many went away and with an unbelieving heart. So the children of Israel for 40 years walked with an unbelieving heart. Even though they saw miracles, signs, and supernatural wonders, they still would not change their hearts to believe and walk after God. So that is ultimately true about the warning of turning totally to the living God. Now, faith, the God's kind of faith, in a individual person has to do with the revelation of how the Lord works with all people. I want us to read something, why faith, the God's kind of faith, the Bible kind of faith, in a person, in what that person did on the day of Calvary, which is the atonement, and what took place after that, the display of his of our faith was the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is not had anything to do with Easter eggs or Easter bunnies or anything like that. It has to do with a person that conquered Satan, sin, and death and gave us eternal hope. That is the living Christ. And no religion in the world, not one religion or deity in any culture or any group can say that any of their so-called prophets or their so-called gods rose from the dead, bodily from the dead. No one can proclaim that, not even Islam, not even any of them, Buddha or whatever. They say he came back and reincarnated and stuff like that, reincarnation, which is something the devil, you know, comes thought of. It's one of those things, the Hindus and the of those, you come as a tree, you come back as a dog, or you come back as a cat, or something like that. But here we talk about the living faith, the eternal faith. And you, do you know that and everything you do has to do with our believing, with our hearts? Now, faith and the believing and trusting in him. The Bible talks about believe on him. If thou canst believe, if thou would believe, if thou would hear and believe. So everything tends on will we believe on him and his words. The warning all the way through the prophets, the alarm was given. All the way through warnings and blessings and victory sounds all the way through the prophets and the warnings. But most time, people did not heed the warnings, just like a lot of people not going to heed today. So nothing new about them. God is a loving God, a just God, so he always warns. If he doesn't warn people, he's not playing love and mercy. So he has and will warn because of his love and his mercy, not willing that any should perish. So he always will warn because of his love. He's not willing anybody to be destroyed. He does not delight in judgment. He does not delight in judgment. He delights in obedience and faith. Now, you notice one of the key revelation truths in Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible. Now, it talks about three elements of the Christian's life. The three important, most important elements of a believer's life is faith, hope, and the love of God. Now, these three qualities are more important than anything else in the believer's life: faith, hope, and the love of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13. Why are these qualities the greatest things that a Christian must display in his life? Faith, the God's kind of faith, hope, eternal hope, and the love of Christ. Now, it says the greater of these is the love of God. But how can we display the love of God without faith and demonstrate it and keep the love of God, the God's kind of faith? Everything, the premise and the components of human life is dealing with trust and faith. Every natural thing you do in this world, every natural kind of faith, every kind of human kind of faith requires you to put some trust in somebody or something. Everything you do in life requires you to put faith, a natural faith, or a component of which is a part of every human existence, is to put trust in something or someone, everything you do. I don't care what you do. Buy a car, sign a deed, you're putting trust. You sign a contract, your trust. You go to the job, the man say he's going to pay you after 2 weeks, you're believing him, right? Are you going to, and you know, every day you have to exercise faith that the man is going to deliver to and pay your check, right? So every 2 weeks you believe the man, so you don't worry about it. Well, they live up to their word, their company, they're backed up by integrity. So I ain't worried about it. I'm going to work 2 weeks, and I don't see no money, and they say they're going to pay me at the end of 2 weeks. So you trust and believe. You go to the bank, well, they're going to keep my money safe. Oh, I got a contract that they're going to keep my, and they call the bank and trust, and I trust them. And so you're exercising a natural faith in everything you do in this human existence. You're trusting someone, and you're trusting some institution. You're trusting, relying on something, because every component that God made human beings is to believe and trust. And also, after you trust and believe, you come to know. And then knowing comes after you exercise faith, the knowing. Now, you know, it talks about the living faith. And I was thinking about how is this connected to the atonement and the resurrection of our Lord? And how is it that even today people don't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead? You know that?
Amen.
And millions of people are blind and ignorant to it. Our Lord Jesus, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, even though we live in a world 2,000 years after it happened, do you know that right here in America, which is a Christian nation, that I would say a majority of people do not believe the Bible, believe all of the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, now you take a survey. They have did all these surveys constantly with people in America, a Christian nation. And do you know them, after they give them a survey, they say, well, I don't know about it. Was Jesus conceived and born by a virgin and conceived by the Holy Ghost? And, I don't know. Okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that Mary was overshadowed by the power of God and conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God? Maybe it could be true, but I don't know. What about his atonement blood for the sins of the whole world as a sacrifice to redeem man over 2,000 years? And what about these? He arose on the third day bodily. That's what they say. You know, maybe it's so. Maybe Brother Nate might believe so. I don't know. Maybe ask him, you know. He might believe. What about his breaking the bands of death, coming out of the grave after 3 days? That sounds kind of, I don't know about that now. So we have today the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 24, what did he say? Will I find faith when I come again? Will I find a believing, redeemed church that believes my word and looks for me, I'm coming. Okay, now, the world in spiritual things is in confusion, and even in some Christian nations are doubting the gospel, parts of the gospel of Christ. And you talk to Christians on your job right about, well, Brother Nate, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. Well, is it written in the scriptures? Well, man wrote this and not this and that. And so the earth is filled a lot with unbelief about spiritual things, and they have little knowledge because they don't seek knowledge. You know what the Bible said, if you want to know something, in Matthew 7, seek. You know, in the Bible, it gives us the opportunity in a free world. In the, 29th chapter of Jeremiah, seek the Lord God with all of your heart, and you shall be found. And shall be found of you. So what are people seeking with all of their hearts, with all of their might? Because if you seek the Lord truth, he said, I shall be found of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What did I do in my mother's bathroom? And I came home and started saying, I'm going to get to know this living God, this creator in the earth. I began to seek him with all of my heart. Now, at first, the enemy tried to dissuade me in my mind, but I kept seeking. I kept pursuing. I kept diligent in that washroom at night, seeking him to know him, for him to reveal himself, to make himself known as the scripture has said, that I may know of a surety that he is. And he's the reward of them that diligently seek him. You know, the Bible says he's the reward of those that, what, diligently, what, seek him, right?
Amen.
Diligent, seek after him, seek him. Hallelujah. Can you see around the world that people who are seeking wealth and do anything to get riches and wealth, and they will seek to do anything to get there, right? Many of them.
Amen. Amen.
And they're seeking after notoriety and fame and success. And some of those things are very good. But then they go to extreme measures and ways that are evil and unrighteous and destructive to get where they're going to get, and they will seek there. And they believe they'll get there. So here we got to read something here. Jesus taught about the evidence. He said, believe on me. You know, whenever he ministered somewhere, you know, he often would say, do thou believe on the Son of God? Do thou believe it on me, or do you believe that I can do this? Believe that I am he that speaketh to you, the Son of God, the Son of Light. Believe it on me. Why is it this evidence of believing is the key thing to you giving evidence to all the things that God will work? Trusting. When he stepped up to the fourth day of Lazarus being dead, fourth day, and the reason that people don't understand why he waited to the fourth day. He wouldn't come up. He didn't show up at the first day, the second day after he's dead. He purposely waited for the fourth day. Now, you go and search out why is it that Jesus made sure and he waited to the fourth day before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, the people that were gathered there at the tomb and at the home of Mary and Martha, Jesus' friend, Lazarus was Jesus' friend, one of his closest friends that he would visit. And he arrived there and about the fourth day, and there was people that was mourning and groaning. And he assured his friends, Martha and Mary, that it was okay, that Lazarus not only was in a good place in paradise, he probably didn't want to come back. Do you think that he wanted to come back, brother? No.
No, I know I wouldn't.
No, I don't think he wanted to come back. That was the thing. He had a choice about it. But no, he didn't have a choice about it because his time had not come, so he had to be brought back for evidence, for a testimony for everybody. Now, Jesus stepped up with pure faith, without doubting, and authority, and power. Now, this is what he did. He stepped up with faith, power, and authority, without any doubt, who he was in the Father. You know, when he prayed, he said, Father, I'm praying for these people around about. I don't have to pray. But I'm praying in their behalf because I know that you always hear me. So when I'm doing this prayer for them, not that I doubt you or that I have to pray. I don't need to pray. I've already prayed. I'm walking in prayer. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the living faith. But I'm praying so that they might believe. When he got through with the little short prayer, for their sake, now, here's where something is important. the resurrection, we're about to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord around the world in most places, which is one of the most, I consider the resurrection, the birth and the atonement and the resurrection is the most important events in the Bible and in the world history, the resurrection of our Lord. Hallelujah. I said the resurrection of our Lord bodily, physically from the dead. I said no glorious more event than he conquered death, hell, and the grave. No one had ever been able to conquer death and the grave and loose the people that had died. You know what the greatest thing was? When he got up, he loosed all thousands of people. Hey, brother, he loosed, not only did he get up, he loosed a whole bunch of people.
Amen. Amen.
That's enough to shout on. I know Job really had a shouting fit. You think Brother Job had a shouting, dancing fit, and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all them fellas and John the Baptist, they were shouting. They were shouting with Jesus. I don't know, but the Bible indicates there was a shouting party going on. You know, a lot of people don't know, when Jesus appeared in death, when he went down, and there was a shouting party going on. When they saw Jesus coming, woo, death, hell, and the grave, they shrink back, brother. They pull back. Oh, he's here. And do you know the Bible gives a indication of what happened when Jesus appeared into that place where the dead, the righteous dead were?
Amen.
And it's okay, boys. I come to take you home. I come to loose you. Y'all been waiting a long time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of y'all, Isaiah, Hosea, and all those that believed on your word. I come, y'all been waiting and looking for me. I'm coming. I'm here. I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm here to loose you. And first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to conquer death. Death, get over there. Grave, power of the grave, stand back. Think of death, defeat it. Grave, defeat it. The power of darkness, get over there.
Amen.
Give me them keys. Give me them keys of death and hell. And he hand them over. Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Jesus said, give me the keys of death and hell. Give it him. Give it him. And boy, I can see they shrinking, pulling back. Okay. Here it is. Then there he is. He sees Daniel, Job, Jeremiah, and all those that believe their words. He said, hey, guys, y'all been waiting a long time, right? Yeah.
Amen.
We've been looking for you. It's time to get out of this place. It's time to get out of this place. Now, how the faith and the believing has to do with everything in God's plan. Okay, let's see. Have you got your book?
Yeah, which one?
We're going to authenticate this. We don't have time to read all of the scriptures about the importance of the resurrection of Christ and what faith and believing part has to do with the atonement of Christ and the resurrection of our Lord as we celebrate. Now, do you know the same spirit that existed in Jesus' day exists in the world today?
Amen.
See, spirits, they don't know no time and matter and stuff like that exists. From the beginning of time, the fallen spirits and Satan, they exist, and they existed before our time. But listen, same spirit that was in Jesus' day is working today. The same spirit, the same Holy Ghost is working today, the same Holy Spirit, but also the spirit adverse. The spirit of rebellion and anti-Christ, anti-gospel, anti-Christian is still alive and well and working today. Unbelief is still working. And now, the warning is, like your wife was talking about, the warning comes because God is a good God, a faithful God, a loving God. And before disaster come, he must warn. Before calamity come, he must warn. Before terror come, disease, earthquake, or any stress, he will warn. His nature is full of mercy, grace, and compassion, which compels him to warn. In the day of Noah, in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever happened, he warns because he's a God of love. Yah is a God of love. His son, Yeshua, is a God of love. And he does not want anyone to perish. The scripture says he's not willing that any should perish. It's not his desire. Now, let's go to the record of Joseph. You know, the seed of Joseph was given a record in this land, America, and the Lord Jesus had appeared to them, and they had a written record just like the people at Hebrew had a record. And they have a record and a witness of the Father dealing with them on this land, just like the Jewish people had a record, what we call, we now call it the Bible, of the record of the prophets and of the gospel in Jerusalem. They had a record. But the other tribes of Israel that was broken off, the Lord visited them, and they also, like he said in the 10th chapter of John, my sheep, I must also visit them of the other fold. When Jesus rose from the dead in Jerusalem, he visited the other tribes of Israel that were broken off. And one of the tribes that he visited was in the Americas, the seed of Joseph. Over here, right after his resurrection, Jesus visited them. They are this part of the other sheep of his fold that John 10 says. And he dealt with them, and he revealed much to them, even from the 2,200 years before and 800 years before, when he brought the American Indians to this land. They were not Indians, but they were called the seed of Joseph from Jerusalem. He brought them to this land, and they were scattered, and they are called American Indians. They are the household of Joseph, and Jesus came and visited them after his resurrection. Now we have a record of his same dealing with them. We'll read it from that record. Now, let's see how does his faith connect with a believing is so important, the believing. Why is the believing part the most important part, Nate? Why do you think the believing with the heart is the most important part of the gospel?
Amen, because the believing part, we have to believe on Christ, that this would activate the working of the Lord to be functional in our lives. Whether it's, you know, believing for eternal life or healing or whatever, it takes believing God to activate that the power of God may have his way in our lives.
So the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the truth, so faith will come, right? When we
Amen.
Preach the knowledge of the revelation of truth, why? That faith might come and conviction might come. And the conviction and the revelation of faith strikes the heart that we might believe. And in the believing with the heart, we might act on it. So faith cometh by hearing. Romans, 10 says? Faith, talking about the God's kind of faith, the Bible, the saving faith. Faith cometh by hearing. So important for us, for people to hear the gospel, it's very important for them to hear the truth of God. And to read the truth of God, or know of the truth of God, to hear the prophetic word, or the preached, taught word, exalted word of God, so that the faith cometh, the God's kind of faith comes, which calls you to believe and put your trust in a person and what he has done for you on Calvary. Now, everything we do in life has something to do with trust. Everything we dealing, relationship, buying, communication has to do with believing or trust, putting your trust. You sign your name or you give your word. Now, I lived in the South years ago, and back in the old days in the South, when a man gave his word, that was it. He didn't have to write, sign, nothing. Of course, in business matters, you had to sign. But I'm talking about when dealing with people had relationship, they just gave their word. Well, Mr. So-and-so, I got your word. That was it. They walked away. They believed their word. The integrity of that person's word. The integrity of that person's word. How can we have absolute trust in the integrity of God's word? Because he cannot lie, and he can't fail. the integrity of the living God is called his holiness, and I sworn that I will not lie. He's sworn by none other. I cannot lie. I will not lie. His integrity word, I must keep my word, Numbers 22 and 33. And so anything in this world can fail, and every person can fail. But one thing cannot fail. What is that?
God's word.
And what one person cannot lie or fail? One person, one individual. Buddha or Hindu or one of those fellows or what?
No, not them. They already lying, brother. No, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute now. Well, we've got governors and mayors and presidents and big businessmen. You can put your absolute trust in them, can't you?
No, we want to get your money. We want to get your praise. So now.
Wait a minute. Congressmen and senators and presidents, they're in the highest office, brother. I mean, kings. What about kings? King of England. They can't lie. They won't fail. They absolutely can't lie or fail, right? I mean, we can trust them explicitly, right? I mean, can't we?
Yeah, they can fail. In fact, we got the same kind of flesh.
No, brother presidents. Republican presidents don't lie and don't fail, do they? Now,
in a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Wait a minute, brother. We're going to have to tweet you. We're going to have to give you a tweet. Only the Democrats and socialists lie. The Republicans don't lie and don't fail now. Hold on now. Hold on. The kings
it's
can't lie. Real.
Yeah, he can do it.
The kings in the, did the kings in the Bible lie? Did they fail?
Man. How many times?
So absolutely your complete trust in an individual that had proven himself to conquer of sin, Satan, and death. And the grave. One person.
Amen.
One individual. One Lord. One faith. One deliverer. So that's why we're on this broadcast. And we're not on this broadcast to get no fame for ourselves. We're not here to get no money. We don't beg nobody for money, do we? Do we beg anybody for money, brother?
No, we don't do none of that. None of that, brother.
We're on here because of the love of God. And the charge of on our lives, the charge God has placed on our lives, and the love for humanity, and the love for our God and our Lord. And freely we receive, freely we have received, freely we give unto. That means we don't put no charge behind it. We know it takes money. We take money in this world to do things, but we don't put any charge on it. You don't have to get in no $100 line. Did you have $100 lines, $1,000 lines to get a blessing, brother, or what? What do you do all that?
Oh, no, sir.
I didn't know.
None of that.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you sure you don't send no holy water from Jordan and you send this $1,000 to this holy water from Jordan? Are you sure you don't do that? No,
I'm very positive. Very positive.
Don't you send some sands? When you go over to Jerusalem, get some sands off the shore where they said Jesus walking and sell the sand, put it over your door. Don't you, are you sure you don't do that? Okay. All right.
Very positive. Very positive.
I got to keep an eye on you, brother. Don't you be selling the sand, Jerusalem, the water from Jerusalem where John the Baptist, you be around a little paint from the Wailing Wall or something, you know. Okay. Now faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The God's kind of faith. Now, I wanted to read something here because it's connection about whether we really believe the resurrection of Christ as the only evidence in the whole world of one person, that one individual record in the history of mankind that conquered death, hell, and the grave. One. Do you know anybody else that did this, brother? One besides the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Hamashua, the Holy One. Do you know of anyone else?
No, I don't.
Do you know that in the 11th chapter of John, Yeshua, Jesus, Glory to Dios, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Messiah of Israel, is the only one that says, I am the life and the resurrection. I am the living waters, the bread of life. If any man believed on me, and see about this believing with the heart faith, and why faith is the pillar and ground of the gospel. The pillar and ground, the first pillar, the most important pillar in the house of the gospel, the believing part, the trusting of a person and his word. Now, when Jesus preached and ministered, he would often, after get through preaching, he would ask the people, do they believe? Have they received? When he preached, then he acted. Notice he preached and taught before he did the miracles. Most of the time,
amen,
in the big gatherings, he would preach and teach and exalt. In some occasion, he would pass by individual and do some individual sovereign miracles. But most times, he preached and taught, and they heard and they believed, and they received the miracles, signs, and wonders, and deliverance for their lives. Now, let's see. How has this got to do with the resurrection and the atonement? Let's go to, what, page 193. In the book of Joseph, the record, the sacred record that he gave to the American Indians, the seed of Joseph, Jesus, after he visited them in this land, he gave them this record. They kept this record. Hallelujah. Now, on page 193, let's see the first seven verses, eight verses, in the book of Enos, page 193.
The word of God says, behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before that I receive a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for my own soul. And all the day long, did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore, my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said to me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen, and many years passes away before that he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to it by faith. Thy faith have made thee whole.
Now, what was that last part? How is it done when he received this revelation and conversion to Christ? How it was wrought?
He said, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen.
Read three verses above that.
Okay, three verses above that. He said, and there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore, my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen, and many years passed away before that he should manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to it. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
All right. Now, let's move right quickly over to page 768, chapter 7 of 768, and beginning at verse 19 to verse 31. We're going to read verse 19 to 31. Let's try to hook this up.
So wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. And I would tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there shall come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good, and all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God, and assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, have miracles cease, because that Christ have ascended to heaven, and have sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him, and they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he had advocated the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, have miracles ceased. Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith, and of a firm mind, and in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him.
Now, we see the importance of the revelation of faith in this person and his works to redeem and deliver man. But you notice in this revelation of faith, it tells us how men got to believe Christ. And he talks about the works of angels, right?
Amen.
And from the beginning, angels came to minister unto men after they were fallen and before they were fallen. And it tells you the office of ministry, for verse 25, verse 24 and 25. 24 and 25. Now,
Verse 24 and 25. It says, and behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men which were good, and all things which are good coming of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ.
Verse 26.
And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. And as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you.
Okay. Now, the revelation of this faith, this saving, redeeming, healing, miracle, deliverance, faith in a person. Not just in anything, but in a person. And in his words. And his words. Now, how does this have to do with the resurrection of Christ that we're celebrating? Let's go to page 253. How does this revelation faith, which is the pillar, the cornerstone in the gospel and God's working with man, and how it that in relative component ways in the human existence, we exercise natural faith and trust all the way through life. But many things in this world can fail. Anything we trust in mankind, in the material world, the physical world, with human, anything we can trace can fail and will fail and do fail. Children fail, people fail, government fail, Wall Street count, presidents fail, kings fail, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, friends fail. Everything in the fallen physical world can fail, can suffer. Friendship. Judas was walking and ministering with Jesus for 3.5 years, but he betrayed him. Peter, walking with him and his main man, and at the time got really, things got hot when Jesus was going to the cross, Peter failed God and ran and said, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. So anything in the flesh is subject to failure, right?
Amen.
Everything in this physical world, you see with the eye, can fail and will fail. But it's in the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God, where Christ ruled and reigned. Let's see. Page 253, how is this connected to our celebration, not of Easter? I don't know, brother. I'll take that back. You believe in Easter, right? You're an Easter bunny believer, right?
No. No, that's
Are you
a negative
sure?
there. I'm positive.
Did Jesus talk about Easter, or did he talk about his resurrection?
He talked about his resurrection.
Oh, okay. I think both. How did they get? How do you think people have pushed this Easter thing over into Christianity? How did that Easter get over in here? It's a pagan belief. It wasn't in Christianity. It's not in the Jewish belief. It's not in the Israel belief. So how did it skip over here to Christianity, and now we want to celebrate, put this together? The devil is really slick, boy. And so now we celebrate Easter, the Easter bug hunter, and the kids are celebrating you taking this away from them. You're just a Mr. Scrooge. That's all you is, a Mr. Scrooge. You're a Mr. Scrooge, Nate. You're trying to take away our fun.
Yes, I am.
And then
yes,
they put up the Christmas tree. Now, I have no problem with them celebrating the birth of Christ. I believe it's great. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate the most important event, resurrection of Christ. And in Christmas time, people, they put trees and Christmas trees and bunnies and all these lies. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ. But they put it in there for a commercial reason. And Satan, and so, but remembering the birth of Christ is great. But they want to put all these pagan things and slipping in there on us, and Christmas trees, holly, hooly, holly, and Rando coming, and all these lies and deceptions. And so it's the same things that have been slipped into Christianity. It's like praying to dead saints and lighting candles to Mary and the dead people and just doing all kind of funny things, making the money out of these things. I think it's a lot of money thing out of this. Now, listen here. What has this kind of living faith, the chief cornerstone of our deliverance and repentance towards God? Because once, in order to repent, in order to believe, you repent and don't believe, it's not going anywhere. If you repent and don't believe, it's not going anywhere, because it'll fail you, because you must continue to believe. See, this is the part about repentance. The first premise of the gospel is faith and repentance unto God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice where he put faith first. Because if you don't believe in your heart that Lord forgive your sins and deliver you from your sins, and you don't believe that and continue to believe that, your repentance is going to be wiped out. You know, you understand that. You know why I put faith
Amen.
In the beginning of repentance at the first, the believing part? Because you must continue to believe. You must trust that. Because Satan is coming back to tell you, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You must exercise faith in his word.
Amen.
If you don't exercise and believe, that repentance is not going to be the most important part of your life. It's whether you believe with your heart. Okay, let's go. How is it tied with the resurrection? Page 253. Page 253.
Okay. Page 253. The word said, and now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And now what say ye? Who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you that whomsoever have heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets, which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believe that the Lord will redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for remission of their sins, I say unto you that they are his seed, or they are the heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they which, whose sins he have borne. These are they for whom he have died to redeem them from their transgressions, and now are they not his seed. Yea, and are not the prophets, everyone that has opened his mouth to prophesy, that has not fallen to transgression, I mean all the holy prophets, ever since the world began, I say unto you that they are his seed. And these are they which have published peace, that have brought good tidings of good, that have published salvation, that say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And oh, how beautiful upon the mountains were those feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace, yea, from this time henceforth and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the fountain of peace, yea, even the Lord who have redeemed his people, yea, him who have granted salvation unto his people.
Go ahead.
Okay, continue on. Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay. For were it not for the redemption which he have made for his people, who have prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished. But behold, the bands of death shall be broken.
I want you to stop there.
Okay.
You got to stop here. Because it's an important point. Read that statement again.
For were it not for the redemption which he have made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished.
Now, when was redemption prepared? When was the plan of redemption prepared? I thought of by God.
Set from the foundation of the world.
So before man existed, before man came into existence, before Adam was created, before the world existed, in the heart and the mind of God, a plan of redemption had already been worked out. Before the creation of man, before the creation of the world. So this is not a thing that caught God by surprise and he didn't know what to do. He had already foreknowledge, and because of his foreknowledge, he made a plan, and the devil thought that he had did something great and sneaked this in and caused man to fall. But before that even occurred, the foreknowledge of the living God had already worked a plan of redemption from when man would fall. He didn't make man fall. He didn't cause man to fall. But he knew that he would make the wrong choice. And he made a plan before the world, before the creation, a plan of redemption. Revelation chapter 5 said before the world came into existence, before the material, physical world of earth came into existence, even before the universe came into existence. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's how much the Lord foreknew and foreplanned. And he did the devil. If the devil had known that by crucifying Christ that he would help bring in redemption, he would not have did it. But the devil is a dummy. He don't know everything. He thought he was doing something when he killed Christ. But actually, he was helping to bring redemption to mankind. Look at that. That devil so stupid. He thought by killing Jesus, and that was the end of the matter. The dummy. Go ahead. All right. Now, when the Lord, in that scripture, it tells you who was raised from the dead when Christ rose. Does it describe who was raised from the dead when Christ arose from the dead? Did it say anything about that?
Yeah, it's up in that scripture that I read.
Yes, sir.
It says, it said, for were it not for the redemption which he had made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished. But behold, the bands of death shall be broken, and the Son reigneth and have power over the dead. Therefore he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. And there cometh a resurrection, even a first resurrection, yea, even a resurrection of those that have been, and which are and which shall be, even unto the resurrection of Christ, for so shall he be called. And now the resurrection of all the prophets and all those that have believed in their words, for all those that have kept the commandments of God, these shall come forth in the first resurrection. Therefore, they are the first resurrection. They are raised to dwell with Christ, who have redeemed them. Thus they have eternal life through Christ, who have broken the bands of death. And these are those who have part in the first resurrection, and these are they that have died before Christ came in their ignorance, now having salvation declared unto them. And thus the Lord bringeth about the restoration of these, and they have a part in the first resurrection, or have eternal life, being redeemed by the Lord. And little children also have eternal life, but behold and fear and tremble before God, for ye had ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemed none such that rebelleth against him and dieth in their sins, yea, even all those that have perished in their sins ever since the world began. They have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God, and would not keep them. These are they that have no part in the first resurrection.
Okay. All right. Now, what do we learn? There's four important things that it tells us about when Christ rose from the dead at Jerusalem. What is it that is revealed to us? Four important things about people who were raised with Christ. Because a lot of people don't talk about, they just talk about Jesus, but they don't talk about the other part of the resurrection, what it brought to pass, the people that was raised from the first day, from the Christ resurrection, which is called the first resurrection, the people that were raised with him. They don't talk to a teacher much about that. What do we hear from that?
Well, it brought to pass the resurrection of all the prophets and those that believe in his words, you know, that came, you know, before Christ came in the flesh. And they had part in the first resurrection. And they were raised to dwell with God, who had redeemed them. And according to the word of God, those that have part in the first resurrection, they died before Christ came, you know, in their ignorance and not having, you know, salvation declared unto them.
Okay, you missed two important people. You left out two.
Okay, and it says, it mentions the little children has eternal life.
That's three.
And let me see. Now, he didn't redeem those that rebelled against him.
No, he didn't. He He redeemed those that rebelled against him. No.
No, but let's see.
But notice that at the beginning he says, all the holy prophets and those that believe on their words.
Okay.
Those that believed on his word, when they heard the prophets, believed on his word and obeyed and believed, and they were raised with him. Second was those that never heard, was ignorant, died in their ignorance, never having heard. And then little children's receive eternal life, and little children's are redeemed. Now, four sets of people during Christ's resurrection. Now, if we go, most people do not talk about the resurrection in its completeness. They only talk about Jesus arose, but they leave out these four important events of these people who came up with Jesus and was raised and returned to paradise with Jesus. Now, let's go to Matthew 27 in their Bible, the abridged version of the Bible, the abridged version of the King James, my favorite, the abridged version and translation, abridged, 27 chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 50 to 53.
Okay, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53. Said Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went to the holy city, and appeared unto men.
So now, you don't hear too much elaboration about that, do you?
No, you don't.
That's because they don't have insight or revelation completely about the resurrection which took place. They have a partial understanding, and they talk about Jesus, the most important thing, that he's the Lord of the resurrection, and he's the life in the resurrection, and that he arose from the dead. But something else, even besides that, which is left out. So this is why they don't understand that Moses is not dead, David is not dead, Hosea is not dead, Daniel the prophet is not dead. Any of those people, well, let's go on back, all they were killed in the faith, those that were destroyed, all the prophets who died before Christ's death. Now, the apostles, they're not raised with a new body because they died after Christ. They are not raised, even though they are in paradise, they are not raised with their new body. But you notice that all those died before Christ rose with him who believed on him, or believed the prophets and their words, and all little children, of course, they are alive in Christ. And they don't need no baptism. So no use you sprinkling the water on no babies because they don't need it. And none of that. You can bless little children. Now, let's go. You'll notice when Jesus went down in Revelation, he took the keys of death away from Satan. What's that, 20th chapter? And he defeated death. And he broke the power of the grave. The sting of death was mute. The power of the grave was overthrown and conquered. He broke the bands of death. And the scripture that says he loosed the captive that was held in captivity. All wonderful news. In the 24th chapter of Psalms, tell us about the King of Glory when he went down into the heart of the earth. Job cried out, I know my Redeemer liveth 1,000 years before. And in my flesh I shall see him for myself. Job knew the revelation of Christ coming and the Messiah coming. And he told about it 2,000 or 3,000 years before. Hallelujah. Moses saw it coming, and all of them. And Daniel died in hope, and Abraham died in hope waiting for him. And he did come. and they are not in the grave. I know people preach that Abraham and all of them are in the grave and all that, and David, and they're going to get up. They already got up, baby. I'm sorry. They already. They don't want to go back no more. By the way, John the Baptist got killed before Christ. Was he raised?
Yes, he was.
So he's not in the grave. He's not dead anymore in the grave, as they say. He got his new body, right?
Amen.
Oh, now we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But unbelief has crept into the world, even into the Christian church, about many things. And even though the resurrection, what they call the resurrection day is coming, I don't see Jesus I'm going to correct this as they go. Jesus did not rise on Sunday. He rose on the first day. Let me get this straight now. Jesus did not arise from the dead on Sunday. He rose on the first day of the week. Now, many people believe that he died on the fourth day, but we know for sure that he arose on the first day. And there is a reason he did not rise from the dead on the seventh day. He rose on from the dead on the first day of the week. The angels and the women went to the tomb. And the angels, here we see the angels coming again, meeting the women at the tomb. Why are you looking for the living and the dead? He's not here. I look for my Lord. He's risen. Somebody stole his body and taken him away. He says, oh, and the angel said, he's risen from the dead. He's not here. He's not here. He's not here. Now, Brother Nate, did they say that about Muhammad or Buddha or Tao or any of those people? Oh, he's not here. He's risen from the dead. His body's gone. He ascended on high or something like that. Did they say that about any of those ancient gods in Babylon or what are those?
No, they didn't.
No? Satan couldn't pull that off. Satan couldn't pull that off, could he?
No, he couldn't.
Satan cannot give life or redemption, a piece of hope, and he can't raise people from the dead. He can't give life and resurrection. Now, he tried to imitate in a lot of other stuff, but it's things that he cannot do. Notice that Satan cannot form this kind of miracle. Now, he tried to imitate it. He can't restore limbs and eyeballs and limbs and stuff like that. He can't restore life, restore limbs of the creation. He cannot do it. He can imitate certain gifts, but he cannot restore. He cannot create God type of miracle like giving you a new kidney or a new eyeball or a new limb, a new foot. Witches and warlocks and all of them, they can't do that because Satan don't have that ability. Oh, you know, I know. Unbelief. The resurrection is here. All right, sisters, where are they at?
They'll be on in a minute. Just waiting on your call there, brother.
You want to say something about the resurrection, brother?
Well, thank God that you pointed out the resurrection, let people know what really this thing's supposed to be about and not by no bunny and hide no eggs. And I never could understand that, you know, why that was done. Well, we're going to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Thank God for that. I'm telling you that deliverance, the word, it just, I'm telling you, I just think and I praise the Lord. We got to dig deep. I'm telling you, we got to dig deep.
Welcome. Welcome, dear sister. Welcome.
Thank you. Amen.
Let us welcome Sir Nathaniel Hunt on her job and her vision. She's about to arrive and get on her job. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Nate. I forgot that's your wife. I apologize. I didn't ask your permission, brother. Miss Nate, you're about to get on your job fully, aren't you? We'll be welcoming you. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah to Jesus. Let's hallelujah. And glory to Jesus. She's a visionary person, visionary seeing person. So she have a perk, a work in the ministry. So we're expecting her to get on into that gleaming work, and we're looking for a miraculous thing that she will do, that she's going to stand for. So let us all say, stand for.
Amen.
Stand forth in Jesus' name. Stand forth.
Stand forth in Jesus'
all right.
name. Amen.
Stand forth.
Yes. Amen. Stand forth. Thank you, Jesus.
Stand forth.
Thank
stand
you.
Forth in the Christ. Stand in the place that God has ordained from the foundation of the world. Stand forth with brother, her husband, Nate, and stand forth in the ministry of Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Priscilla and Aquila. Let's believe for all Christians that their sons are, you know, let's pray for our sons. By the way, let's pray for our sons and our families that God included them in the work of the Lord and the ministry of the Lord from the foundation of the world. And we're going to decree that over them because God, when he raised up our families, he included our families in the plan of salvation before the world was. He planned that they be in the kingdom of God with their parents. Now, Father,
amen. Yes,
in the plan, in the mind, and the working of your purpose before the foundation world, you plan that our children and our seed shall be blessed.
Yes.
You said in Acts 2:38 when Peter preached, this promise is to our children and our children, and even them afar off.
Oh, yes.
So we are the afar off people 2,000 years later. And our children and our children was planned in the book of Leviticus, salvation, that Israel's children was purpose and planned in the salvation in Israel and in the salvation, the redemption of the church world. So our children was included when he said,
thank you, Jesus.
Acts 6:31, believe on the Lord Jesus and thy household to be saved. And so we're believing the promises. That our seed and our children's seed, which you have included, that they will awaken, revive, and stand forth. And that Satan's plan over their lives and destiny be counsel.
Yes, let
Lord
us
all
Jesus.
Say, counsel in Jesus' name, counsel.
In Jesus'
counsel.
Name.
Counsel. If you're believing, if you choose to believe now, if you choose to believe, the promise.
Yes,
Satan, your plan is counsel. Satan, your plan is counsel over my children and my children's children. Your plan is counsel.
Your
counsel, plan, we delete your plan. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. Our neighbor's children, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead. Satan, your plan to abort their legacy in God, your plan, Satan, is counsel and broken
and
destroyed. Because we have the authority in our family line to declare, we have authority in our family line to counsel your plan over our children and our children's children in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we release the sword of the Lord to enforce it. We release the angels of the Lord to go forth and enforce this. We release angels of God according to the promise of God. They answer to his word, the voice of his word, your angels answer, and they'll know the word, God. The angels will know the promise, and they'll get busy to bring this about in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
thank
name.
You.
Jesus, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because
you,
nothing, not anything is too hard, too difficult for you to do according to our faith. In the promise of God. Nothing is impossible. You said it out of your mouth, Jesus, out of your own mouth. And so we speak to all the people that are listening about their children and children. They're in a hard place. They're in a rock place. They're in a dark place. They're in a difficult place. They're in a rebellious place. They're in a place. But the Lord Jesus is mighty to shine upon them. They're vivid them. According to the promise.
restored unto the promise.
And because
yes,
he's risen from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave, and Satan, he can
yes,
fulfill and will fulfill all of his good promises concerning
yes,
our seed. As Abraham
yes,
blessed Isaac, and Isaac blessed
yes,
Jacob, and
yes,
Jacob
yes,
blessed the house of Israel, so we bless our seed in the
yes,
name of the Lord Jesus.
That
they'll be vivid. They will
yes,
be vivid and shaken and awakened and disturbed and convicted. And the
yes,
angel
yes,
of the Lord shall pursue them
yes,
in
Lord,
dreams and visions and
yes,
every communication to turn
yes,
our hearts
yes,
upon the Lord Jesus. We
yes,
commit
Jesus,
them to the Lord Jesus. We give
Jesus,
them to the Lord Jesus. We place them on the altar of the Lord Jesus,
the Lord. Yeah,
and for the
Lord
glory
Jesus,
of God to be revealed,
the Lord,
for the
Jesus,
hand of God to be manifest. And now we
yes,
thank you. Now, all of you women, yes, as this is Handmaid's Night, mothers,
the
and concerned
you,
about your children, about their lives, we agree with you.
Yes,
that
the
as the message of the kingdom of God in Christ at the right hand of the Father who is risen from the dead, he's alive,
yes,
he's interceding for salvation of Israel and the world and for his people. And we agree that your children, whatever land you're in, they shall come to Jesus and know the gospel and the power of salvation. And that they shall
yes,
awaken by the miraculous hand, the visitation of the Lord Jesus, no matter if you're in Iraq or Iran or Mexico, Brazil or Russia or China, no, or Mongolia, it doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ is there now.
Yes, Lord.
And we believe.
Yes,
we believe,
Lord,
and we decree and declare over these children and children in these lands, they shall be recovered,
yes,
redeemed and delivered and awakened. And
yes,
our children shall arise. And Lord, you will raise an army of children, and you
yes,
shall show them
yes,
great and mighty works through the Holy Ghost, and they shall be a mighty army to destroy the works of the devil, loose the captive, and bring deliverance to many. The children in Russia, the children in China, the children in Iraq and Iran and Turkey and Siam and the United States, the children shall arise. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we decree it.
Yes, Lord. Jesus, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And
thank
Satan,
you,
the Lord rebuke you.
Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
The Lord bind and rebuke you over their lives. Lord,
yes,
remember
Lord,
Gregory Clark.
Yes, Lord.
Shake
yes,
and
Lord,
awake.
Yes,
Lord.
Glory to
Lord,
your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
and
Jesus,
glory.
Yes, Lord.
And
glory. Glory,
glory
to
and
your
glory,
name. Glory to your name.
And
thank
glory.
You. Glory, glory, thank
you. You know, like
Jesus.
Brother Nate, you and your wife, I just kind of see y'all supposed to be on TV, but the devil is a liar. I mean, he don't want that to happen, but the devil, you is a liar. Devil, you, I said you're a liar in
Jesus'
name. I said he don't want to see you and your wife on TV declaring the goodwill and good gospel of Jesus Christ, the glorious hallelujah in time. And Sister Allison, Brother Allison, oh, great grace be upon you. Great grace be upon you in the house. Great grace be upon you.
Yes.
And the will of God be fulfilled in the name.
In your mighty name, Jesus.
Of the Lord
yes,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
all
you,
right. What we got left, brother? 10 minutes or what?
5 minutes left.
Could I take a minute,
okay,
please?
Sister Allison, you can speak.
Okay.
You want to do whatever you do, at least 5 minutes, to speak to the women around the world or the nations or wherever you choose to do. It's up to you.
Amen. I thank and praise the Lord. I just want to take a few minutes, and I just invite all the women. I really invite the women into grace and glory, into the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say that a few weeks ago that we had an opportunity to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and got the opportunity to witness to some young people. The Lord had laid it up on my heart for these mothers to, you know, to pray for these mothers that they will come and give their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will stand in the gap for their children. And I think and I praise the Lord. And my son and daughter-in-law was among that young group of people that we had the opportunity to witness to, because the Lord had showed me last year they were out, and I mean, they were just traveling. You know, people was afraid because of this COVID but they were out and traveling to Canada, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, different places last year. So the Lord told me to speak to them and speak to them about salvation and their soul. And the Lord blessed them. Today they are in Puerto Rico. And I told them, and I witnessed to them, and I told them that they need the Lord Jesus in their lives, and they need to take the Lord with them wherever they go and be covered under the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus. They need to repent and give their lives to the Lord so the Lord could really use them. And I told them to make sure that you repent and that you take the Lord Christ Jesus with you. And so for a couple of days now, they've been in Puerto Rico. And they are just, you know, just traveling. And I think and I praise the Lord because I know the Lord can use them. They're out and around and about in these different places, and the Lord can use them to be a testimony for him. And I just think and I praise the Lord. And for all the women of the world, that I say the kingdom of God has come and it is your time. It is your time, and all you have to do is to get the victory, and you can get it right now. It's to say that you confess with your mouth and that Jesus Christ in your heart, that he suffered, he died, the most so that he rose again, and you got to really believe this. Believe this. That's the message went for us tonight, that you got to believe this. And if you don't have that belief in you, seek the Lord for it. Seek him, because he said all you have to do is ask and it shall be given unto you. And he is no respecter person. I don't care from what part of this world that you are in. And I just think and I praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
You've given the invitation, women, and we thank God for you. Give your heart to Jesus. Go get baptized in Jesus' name in the water and be filled with the Holy Ghost and be on your way.
Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for another blessed broadcast this day. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget another broadcast. Come on tomorrow night as we come with a new series on why Masonry and Mormonism is not part of the restoration work. So look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. So once again, for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, we love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen. We love you.